Psalm chapter 37 is where we're going to read in just a moment. The title of the message this morning is A Far Better Ending. A Far Better Ending. How do you want your life to end up? I want you to consider that thought with me today. Sometimes we may be guilty of comparing our life with someone in the world. We may try to compare our life with those of the world, and we mistakenly think that, you know, they've got it better than we do as a Christian. They've got it better than I do as a child of God and living the life that I live as a Christian. We maybe compare our life with someone who's not saved, and the devil tries to make us think that they than those of us better life than those of us who are trying to live for God and trying to do right and trying to follow the Bible. But I want to show you today that that is completely wrong. That is wrong. I have a far better life. You and I have a far better ending to the story, a far better ending to our life as Christians, as children of God, as people who will love Christ and follow His Word and live for Him. Our life will have a far, far, far better ending. Far better. Let's look at a couple of verses here. Psalm chapter 37, let's stand if you're physically able to, and we'll read just a couple verses to begin with, but keep your Bible open because we're going to somewhat go through this chapter, some of the verses in it, and discuss this topic that you might be convinced that you've got it far better. Okay, Psalm chapter 37, and look down at verse 37. Psalm chapter 37, verse 37 and 38. It says, Mark the perfect man. You know, set a mark at him. Look at him. Look at that, you know, that righteous man, that mature man, that godly man. Mark the perfect man and behold the upright. For the end of that man is peace. Psalm 37, verse 37 and now verse 38. It says, but the transgressors shall be destroyed altogether. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. Which sounds better to you? The end of the wicked or the end of the godly? Hey, I'm here to say today that the end of a Christian is far better than the end of the world. And we may look and think, oh, but they have so much and it seems like they enjoy life and, you know, they can maybe do things that I'm not supposed to do as a Christian or, hey, I have a far better end. A far better end. A far better, now and for eternity. And I want to talk to you about that a little bit this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful to be in church with people here that I love. And Lord, this chapter encouraged me as I read it. And I pray, Lord, it would encourage us that we have a far better ending when we get saved, when we live for Christ, when we determine to walk the narrow way, if you will, and live a life that is devoted to Jesus Christ. Help us to see that our life has a far better ending as faithful followers of Jesus Christ than just to be a casual follower or just to live for self or just to reject Christ. Lord, our ending will be far better. Help us to see it and be convinced of it and believe it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. Brother Dave, would you shut the door for us there? Sorry. I want you to see that in the end, you and I who are saved and living for Jesus have a far better ending than those who don't want to live for the Lord. Verse by verse this morning, I want to take you through this Psalm of David. And I want you to see the end of the Christian's life is a far better ending than the end of the person who is not saved. I want you to realize today that the end of the life, the end of the life of the person who is sold out to God, who is committed to Christ, who is seeking to love the Lord Jesus Christ with all of their heart, is a far better ending than the end of the life of a backslider or carnal Christian who just wants to live for self. I want you to see this morning that the end for God's people is a far better ending than the end for those who don't trust Him. Those who reject Christ, those who don't want to follow Him. Go back with me to Psalm 37 and look at verses 1 and 2. Psalm 37, verses 1 and 2. It says, fret not thyself. Don't get all upset. Don't fret. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity.
Don't fret. Don't start to be envious or jealous, thinking, oh, the world has it so much better than I do. They didn't have to get up and go to church this morning. Yeah, they had to stay home and shovel snow. Ha, ha, ha. Yeah. Listen, we've got it far better, don't we? It says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Don't fret over thinking the world has it better than you. Don't be envious or jealous over things that others may have. Listen, don't be covetous of the mansions and the homes of the rich and famous in the world today. I want you to remember that for those of us who are saved, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Listen, this world is not my home. There may be people that have more in this world than I do, but they don't got more later. Hey, I've got a home up there. There's a mansion waiting for me up there in heaven. In John chapter, we're going to come back to Psalms, but John 14, some verses that you're pretty familiar with, it says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Listen, he's been 2,000 years preparing a place for me. And I like to believe that heaven's going to be a wonderful place. And we're going to love to be with our Savior and love to be with our God. And there's a home waiting for me and for you in heaven if you've trusted Christ. Listen, don't be envious. Don't be jealous. Don't get to thinking the world has it better. My earthly father, he passed away. My dad was killed in a farm accident when I was 8 years old. And my earthly father may not have left me material things. He may not have had, you know, the goods of this earth to give me. But can I tell you something? I've got a far greater inheritance waiting for me up there in heaven. Far greater. The Bible says this over in 1 Peter, if you want to look at it. 1 Peter chapter 1. In the New Testament, right towards the end of your New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 3 and 4. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. To what? What has he begotten us to? What does he have for us? To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Listen, I've got an inheritance up there. I may not have had an earthly inheritance when my father passed away, but I've got a great inheritance up there. The things that people have in this world, listen, they're only temporal. But what we have waiting for us in heaven is eternal. Listen, I have a far better ending. A far better ending waiting for me. Look back at Psalm 37. Psalm chapter 37. And let's begin again in verse 1. It says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. It's very temporal. Verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Hey, don't worry, he says, about what you see in the world having this. Don't be envious of that. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. If you're trusting and following the Lord, you've got a promise there. He'll take care of you. He'll take care of you. Look at verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. If you're delighting yourself in the Lord, if you're walking with him, if you're spending time with the Lord, if you're spending time in prayer, if you're getting in his word and getting to know him, talking to him, then I guarantee you that God will give you the desires of your heart. God will give you what your heart needs, and he will give you what your heart loves. I am sure that your walking with God and delighting yourself in the Lord will purify your hearts and my heart and purify our motives and our affections. But I am also sure that when God, I'm also sure that when we've got a pure heart, because we've walked with the Lord, because we've trusted in the Lord, I'm sure then that God will give us the things that we love. The things that will bring us great joy. We don't have a God up in heaven who knows that the desire of our heart is one thing and He delights to have us, you know, God wants to give us something. Here, let me give you something. Let me give you something, George. Oh, George is all excited and he opens it up. Oh, a gift from God. He opens it up and, oh, I didn't want that. No. God's going to give you things that will bring you joy. God knows what's going to bring great pleasure to your life. God knows what the desires of your heart are. Sometimes people think, well, if I listen to God and I do what God wants and I say, God, I'll serve you, I'll do whatever you want, God's going to end up telling me to do something that I'm absolutely going to hate. No, you won't. You're going to love what God gives you. You're going to love what God does in your life. If you delight yourself in Him, delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you what your heart desires. You have God's word on it. If you delight in the Lord, He will give you those things that delight your heart. The good things that God wants to give to His children are not just for up in heaven. It's not just, you know, reserved in heaven and waiting in heaven and go and, you know, go make sure you get it. No, it's for now too. It's for now too. And the life of a Christian who delights in God and trusts the Lord and follows Him will be full of God's blessings. There may be hard times. We talked about it in Sunday school. There may be trials that you go through. There may be difficulties on the path of God's will for your life. But let me tell you something. You're not alone. There may be dark valleys, but you don't have to walk through those valleys alone. God cares about you. God cares about you. Look at verses 5 and 6. Psalm 37, verses 5 and 6. It says, commit thy way unto the Lord. What's the next word? Trust. Look at your Bible. That way I know you're listening, okay? Trust, okay? Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Okay? You trust in the Lord. You commit your way unto the Lord. Verse 6, and He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light. You make sure you're doing right and trust that, you know what? God's going to reward that. He's going to bring it out into the light. There may be times where I'm doing right and it seems like, why are other people getting off better than me? Or they're getting farther ahead than I am. And I'm here trying to do right. God's not going to let that, you know, that doesn't go unnoticed with God. Doesn't go unnoticed with God. We may wonder sometimes, will I ever be rewarded for doing the right thing? Listen, God is just and God will reward you for your righteousness. When someone else at work seems to be getting ahead by dishonesty or manipulation, don't you lower yourself to the world's ways to think that, well, that's the best way to get ahead. If I be dishonest a little here, if I tell some lies here, if I try to manipulate things and, you know, gain some favor in wrong ways, that's the best way for me to get ahead in my career. No, why don't you just do what is right and honor God and let Him reward that righteousness. God is just. And in the end, listen, God will judge and God will reward. God will judge and God will reward. In school, do what is right. In college, do what is right. In your workplace, do what is right. In the Christian life, do what is right. Do what is right. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, if you would. Matthew chapter 5. Listen, do what is right. No matter where it is, no matter what the situation, do what is right. And let God reward that. Don't cheat, don't lie, don't cut corners. Don't put others down in order to elevate yourself. Be honest, have integrity, obey God, follow His commandments, do the things that He tells you to do. Listen, sooner or later, God will judge and God will reward. And God is just. He is a just God. And He sees everything that you do. Look at Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5, verses 43 to 45. Matthew 5, chapter 5, verses 43 to 45. It says, ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Makes sense humanly, right?
says verse 44, "But I say unto you, love your enemies." Some of you got some enemies right now. Maybe you need to love them. "Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust." Listen, God can bring your righteousness out into the light. God can reward you for your righteousness. God can reward you for your choosing to do the right thing, even if others are doing the wrong thing. God can reward your honesty. God can reward your integrity. God can reward you as you do good to your enemies and bless them and pray for them. You got an enemy? Buy him a Bible. You got an enemy? Bring him a box of Tim Hortons donuts. You got an enemy? Do something good for him. Do something good for him. Sometimes we think that God only sees the bad things that we do. But I want you to know something this morning. He also sees the good that we do. He sees the good that we do. Turn with me in the New Testament a bit further to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. In the book of Amos, the Bible says, "Surely I will never forget any of their works." Any. He sees it. He sees it. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, and look at verses 10 to 12. Have you found it with me? If you found it with me, can you say amen? Oh, that's two people. That's not good enough. All right, we'll give you another few seconds. All right, Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. All right, if you found it, say amen. All right, that's better. Okay, Hebrews 6 and verses 10 through 12. The Bible says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget." He sees it. "He's not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. That ye be not slothful," that word means lazy, "but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." You keep on trusting God. You keep on living by faith. You say, you know what? I'm going to do what is good. I'm going to do what is right. And I'm going to trust that God's going to reward it. I'm going to trust in the Lord. I'm going to trust the promise there of Psalm 37. That he will bring my righteousness out into the light. And he will reward me for my doing right, even when I could have chosen to do wrong. Hey, I've got it better. I've got it better. The end of those that want to do wicked, listen, they'll be cut off. God will judge them. They may seem to get ahead for a little while, but in the end, they're going to fall. It's far better to do right. God sees your work for him. He sees your faithfulness. He doesn't forget about it. We ought to keep doing right until the end, because in the end, I know that God is just, and I know that God will reward his people. Listen, the promises of God are always good for his children. They are always good for his children. Turn back to Psalm 37 with me. Psalm 37. The Bible says in another verse, Psalm 34, 15, it says, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous." The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. He sees. God sees, and God is just. And God will reward those who trust him and do right. Listen, don't believe the lies of the devil. When the devil tries to make you think that the ungodly have it better off, or that maybe it's just not worth it to follow the Bible, it's not worth it to live by Christian principles, it's just not worth it to hold your Bible convictions and standards and so on. The world will lie to you. The devil will lie to you. Oh, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. No, hold to what is right. Hold to what you believe. Hold to what the Bible teaches. The devil will make you think that you'll be better off. You'll get what you want by just doing what the world is doing, or doing what other carnal Christians are doing, doing what the flesh wants to do. Look on with me again at Psalm 37 and verses 5 to 10. Psalm 37, verses 5 to 10, it says, "Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who,"
seemingly, because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass, cease from anger. Stop it. Stop it. He says, quit fretting. Stop all the anger. Don't you worry about all those that are living wickedly and you're going to try to do all you can to get back at them or make them pay. Listen, you just do right. Do what is just. Do what is good. And trust God to reward you. Bring things into light. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Verse 9. For evildoers shall be cut off. That doesn't sound like a good ending. Evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place and it shall not be. You might look sometimes and think all the people that are in positions today in this world, people that rule and reign, people that administrate or govern over different things, and some of them are evil and some of them are wicked and some of them are dishonest. Listen, one day they're going to be cut off. In the millennial reign of Christ, you're going to rule and reign. Maybe you'll be the administrator of that place. Maybe you'll be the one sitting in the mayor's office in that place. Hey, you're going to be the one. Don't fret. Don't fret. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Verse 10, yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. In the end, listen, you and I have it far better off than the unsaved does. If you will trust God and obey his word and live a righteous life, then in the end, you have it far better than the carnal Christian who compromised just to try to fit in with or to be like the world. Look down at verse number 16, Psalm 37, verse 16. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. We want to feel sorry for ourselves sometimes and pout and say, but I don't have much money. Really? Is that true? I don't think so. I'm rich. Sometimes, occasionally my kids might ask me, are we rich? Are we? I always say, I'm rich. We are so rich. I preached a message one time, I think it was on an anniversary Sunday or something, why I'm the wealthiest man in York Region. Listen, I'm rich. I'm rich with the blessings that this world doesn't have. I have a happy home. I have a wife who will love and cherish and obey until death do us part. I have a loving wife that's not trying to seek the attention or the approval of other men. I have a wife who loves me and cares for me. I have a godly wife with a meek and humble and submissive spirit. I have a good and virtuous wife. The Bible says in Proverbs 31, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Listen, she's priceless. You can't even begin to comprehend the value of that. Verse 11 says, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Listen, I'm rich. I'm rich. I have a godly wife who loves me, who's submissive to me, who's not trying to compete with me, but she's trying to complete me, build me up and make me a better man. I'm rich. I'm rich. I have children who love me and honor me and who love God. Do they ask more questions when they get to be teenagers? Yeah. Oh. But I know they love me. And honestly, I don't believe they've ever really tried to be rebellious. Are teenagers stubborn sometimes? Yeah, but I think I got teenagers that love me. I think I got little kids that love me and love God and want to do right. I don't think there's rebellion in their heart. And if I ever make them feel like it, when I get upset at them, I don't mean to make them feel that, because I don't believe they're rebellious. I think they love God, and I think they love their dad, and I think they love their mom. And I think they want to do right and try to please us and honor us in life. Listen, I'm blessed, because you know what? A lot of homes aren't like that. My neighbor's homes are not like that. Even with all the brick and mortar, I hear it sometimes. I'm rich. I'm rich. Proverbs 15, verses 16 and 17 says this, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith.
Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. He says, you know what? It's better that you have a home where there's love and peace and good relationships. And all you got to eat is some asparagus. Than to you to have a home where you get to eat an oxen steak. But there's constant strife and fighting and contention. It's better. I'm rich. It's better. It's far better. Hey, it's better. I don't need a 6-car garage to be rich. I don't have to have 7 bedrooms and 7 bathrooms for each of my kids to be rich. I'm rich because I live in a Christian home where there are people who love each other and people who fear the Lord. I'm rich because I live in a home where love is. I'm rich because I live in a place where there's not constant fighting and strife and contention and unforgiveness. We forgive one another. The lifestyles of the rich and famous is not better than what I have. It's not. Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs 17 verse 1 says, better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith than an house full of sacrifices with strife. It's saying it's better to have just a dry old biscuit to eat. It's better to live in a small home. And it's better to only have 1 car to drive and have peace and quietness in your home than to have everything that this world has to offer. That's what God says. That's what the Bible says. If all you got is a dry old biscuit to eat and you don't have much things and you have a little place, but you got a home where there's peace and there's love, and there's joy and there's forgiveness, you have it far better. You can have everything this world has to offer and it be a place of fighting and arguing and strife. That's not better. It's not better. You know what? Sometimes the devil wants to mess with our mind. I want you to look with me at 1 Timothy in the New Testament. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And verse 6, we'll begin reading. In the New Testament, 1 Timothy chapter 6. Listen, the devil tries sometimes to mess with our mind. He'll try to discourage us. He'll try to make us lose the right perspective. But can I tell you something? When it comes to the end, we have a far better ending than the world does. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 11 says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich and always seeking to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith. Hey, is it worth it? I don't mind a person having a nice house and nice cars. I've got those things and I like those things. But can I tell you something? Rather than me saying, you know what? Instead of this home, I've got to upsize to the 5,000 square foot home. Our family just can't make it on our home. We can't make it. We've got to have a bedroom for every child. We got girls and they hog the bathroom. We got to have a bathroom for every girl. No, if I got my life all wrapped up in the pursuit of things, how easy would it be for me to err from the faith, the Bible says. I've told you this before, and I hate to use the same example over and over again, but it's an example because it's a tragedy. It broke my heart. We knew a couple years ago when we were living in London who the man worked all night, night shift plus overtime. The lady worked all day. They never saw each other. Okay? But you know why they did it? Because that, 1,800 square foot townhouse that they lived in with 2 children wasn't big enough. They just were going to have to get a bigger home. Well, they never saw each other. They didn't have much of a home, much of a family, did they? They got divorced. It all broke apart. It didn't provide a better home for their children, did it? What they thought, well, we'll give something better to our children. Hey, listen, it doesn't have a far better ending. Sometimes the world, we believe the lies of the devil, and sometimes Christians do. And we think, oh, I've got to have this, or the world has this, and that looks so good, they've got it better than me. No, they don't. I've got it better. You've got it better if you will live for Christ. Live for Him. Verse
10 talks about, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which will some covet after they've erred from the faith, pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Sometimes it just brings sorrows and heartaches to life, not bitterness. Verse 11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. People live for money and treasures and things of this world, but then have nothing when they die, nothing when it comes to the end of their life. Go back with me to Psalm 37, and we're going to finish there in just a moment. Psalm chapter 37. Psalm chapter 37 and verse number 18. Psalm 37 and verse 18, the Bible says, the Lord knoweth the days of the upright. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. Forever. God knows the years of my life down here on this earth. But what I'm going to have up there in heaven with God is forever. It's forever. And forever is a long, long time. It's far better to live for things of eternity than just to live for things of this earth. Go down to verse 23 with me. Psalm 37, verse 23 and 24. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his right hand. Can I tell you something? The Lord has upheld me. The Lord has been with me through every trial in my life. He's been with me when I've been wrongfully attacked. He's been with me when I've had sick children. He's been with me when I've lost loved ones to death. He's been with me when people have disappointed me in life. Hey, through it all, he's been there. He's been there to uphold me. He's been there to help me. Look at verses 25 and 26. Psalm 37, 25 and verses 25 and 26. It says, I have been young and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed, you know, in other words, his children is blessed. I'm 43 years old now. Is that old? My kids would say that's old, but most of you know that's young, right? I know God has blessed me. God has cared for me. I know that God has met my every need. He's never forsaken me. When I went through Bible college in the States as a foreign student, and I was unable to work in the States except for a part-time on-campus job that only paid a portion of my school bill, listen, God cared for my needs and met my needs. I didn't have a father at home taking care of me, but God took care of my needs. I never paid a school bill late. I never went on the financial withdrawal list, Brother Hebert. God took care of me. God took care of me. When my wife and I were newly married and we were living in London and we were striving to be a blessing and a help to Pastor Palace and a new church plant, God took care of us and God met our needs. All I really did at that time was work a part-time sales job. It was commission only. But God gave me enough sales to take care of our needs and to take care of me. I remember one night there when we were in London, we had sought to be a blessing to people and care for the needs of some of the poor people that we were ministering to and bringing to church from our, you know, what you might call the bus route area. And at the end of a service one Sunday night, Pastor Powell said, okay, Maxine, go to the piano and everyone else knows what they're supposed to do. Well, for some reason, we'd been gone away. I think we'd gone to a church on the Wednesday night to present the fact that we were going to Toronto and stuff. And so we, I guess, didn't know what was going on. And here was me and my wife, and we were sitting right down the front row, and we always helped the pastor with something, but, you know, this teenage girl goes, and she starts playing the piano, and everybody in the auditorium, they just get up, and they start going out the back door. And we're sitting there like, what's going on? And just a minute, all the people start coming back in. And they're all carrying a bag of groceries or a box of groceries, and they came, and they brought it, and they set it all down around me and my wife, right around our feet. Come on now, we had lots of spaghetti to eat. And all kinds of stuff. Listen, God was good. Only God really knew that we had needs. You know, if you're not making sales, you don't got any money. But God took care of us. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. He can help us. He can care for us in times when maybe we don't have much. God is good. Listen, the end of a Christian is far better.
Don't ever think, oh, it's not worth it. I'm rich. I'm blessed. Having the Lord in my life, having Him hear and answer my prayers, having Him care for me and provide for me and protect me and my family is far better than anything else that this world has to offer. Look at a couple of verses here, a few verses in Psalm 37. And this time I mean it. We're done. It'll be the end. Okay? Psalm 37. Psalm 37, and look at verses 27 to 29. It says, depart from evil and do good. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. Go down to verse 34. Verse 34, wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land when the wicked are cut off. Thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree, yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together, the end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them, and he shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Don't believe the lies of the devil. When the devil tries to make you think that the world has it better than you do, don't believe it. Don't believe it. I have a far better end. My story is going to have a far better ending. Far better ending. God saves those who trust in him. God gives strength in times of weakness to those that trust in him. The Lord helps those who trust in him. God gives peace in the midst of troubles to those that trust in him. Listen, I have it far better than the world. Far better. Not only now, but for all eternity. I have a far better end. You see, I have eternal life. I have a home in heaven that's waiting for me. Why? Because I've trusted in Christ as my personal Savior. I have peace with God. I have the forgiveness of all my sins. I know that's all cared for. Why? Because I trusted in Christ as my Savior. I have peace in my heart, and I have peace about the future and peace about where I'm going one day. Why? Because I've trusted in Christ as my Savior. I know the Lord. You know, the world many times has no peace. They cry for peace and there is no peace. The world has no assurance. Now, the unsaved will not go to heaven. I don't say it to be mean. I just say it because it's the truth. The unsaved will be cut off. The unsaved will perish. Some enter into everlasting life. Some face everlasting death and condemnation. I have it far better. Those who are not saved will not go to heaven. Those who rejected Christ will spend eternity in the lake of fire, separated from God in a place of torment and suffering that will never, ever end. May I say that's not, though, what God wants? That's not what God wants for you. That's not what God wants for me. That's not what God wants for anyone that's not saved. God wants us to have, and God will give us a far better end if we'll humble ourselves and acknowledge that I'm a sinner and I'm lost and I'm needy and I need God's Son in my life. I need God. I need His Son, Jesus Christ. I need what He did for me on the cross of Calvary. I'm lost. I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. When you acknowledge your sinfulness and you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you're saved from death and hell so that God can give you a far better ending, eternal life, everlasting life. I have a far better end. You know, all the sins and temptations and vices and allurements of this world don't bring true joy and peace to a person's life. People try to think that. They think, if I just had that, it'll make me happy. If I just had that, it'll give me peace. If I just have that, oh, I'm... No, it doesn't. Do drugs bring true joy? No. Does alcohol bring true joy? No. Does a gambling addiction bring true joy? No. What does it do? It wrecks people's lives. Ruins people's homes. Well, it's not just those things, it's many things. Sin always looks so good, but it never pays. It never delivers what it promises. Those things are just bring heartaches. They bring chains that bind us. They bring brokenness and strife and trouble in the end. But listen, a life that is lived with Jesus Christ and a life that is lived for Jesus Christ has a far better ending. A far better ending. What kind of life do you want? I know the kind of life that will bring a far better end. A far better end. I hope you'll take confidence in, hey, that's the kind of life I want to live. I don't want to be deceived by this world and think, oh, they've got it better. No, live for Christ, do right, trust God to reward and bring into light your righteousness. It's a far better ending. Far better ending. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word and this truth and the encouragement of the psalmist, who obviously in his own life at times maybe kind of felt like the evildoers and the wicked and the worldly and the ungodly, they maybe seem to have it better than I do. Sometimes they're in charge, or sometimes they maybe seem to prosper more than I am. Listen, that's all a lie. That's all temporary. If you will live for Christ, you have a far better ending. If you will live godly, you have a far better ending. If you will not compromise to be like the world or the carnal, you have a far better ending. God will reward. God sees. God sees. You've got to determine today. You've got to decide what kind of ending you want to be to your life story. Be a far better ending. If you're not saved, that you would get saved. It'll be a far better ending if you'll choose to follow and live for Christ with all your heart. Far better end. A far better ending. Help us, Lord Jesus, to follow after you, to trust in the Lord and to do good, to not fret, not be envious, thinking, oh, but I'm just in a minority, or they seem to have what I don't. No, no. Don't believe those lies. The end of the life lived for God, with God, is far better. Far better. Help this truth, God, to ring deep in our hearts and to encourage us. And may there be some things that were said today or seen in the scriptures that even challenge us. Maybe there's areas of our life where our attitudes have not been right. Our thoughts have not been right. Our thinking, our actions. Where maybe we see things in the scriptures that there's a different way to handle things. A different way to live. Just simply trusting that the Lord sees and the Lord will reward our righteousness. Help us, God. Give us wisdom to live like we ought. Calm us when we want to fret or be envious of this world. And remind us of how much better it is to live for Christ and to do things God's way. Help us, please, I pray, in Jesus' name.